You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, right here on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and on the World Wide Web, Miss Ellen, all over the world.
All over the world. And, you know, we've got so many great guests that have been on the show that have been calling in from Ireland and from the UK and all kinds
Vietnam.
Of cool stuff that have a lot
Barbados.
Of... Barbados. Yeah, exactly. We've got a lot of great folks out there doing wonderful things for our world. On 1510 WWBC, you can catch our show every single Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You just hit that Listen Live button, and you can get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, every time after the show, we post our archive shows on Facebook under CetaMediaInc.com and then also on our website, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and CetaMediaInc.com as well. And we've got so many PSAs today.
That's
of
correct.
Things that are going around town. First of all, I'd like to give a great big shout out to 1510 WWBC right here, our home station that has had us here for, wow, we're going on 3 years?
At this station? 4 years at this station, yeah. 14 years of Viewpoint with Sita.
So they are doing a fantastic job here. Again, 1510 WWBC, they are raising money. They're doing a donation drive right now to keep community radio live right here in Brevard County. So make sure that if you're available or if you're able to donate a few dollars here or there, whatever you can afford, WMIEFM.com, or you can go to 1510 WWBC and hit that contact button, and you'll be able to donate a few dollars to keep, once again, community radio going strong right here in our community. Also, we've got one of our sponsors, the
San Francis
Reflections. Thank you so much. They're doing a Rock in the Sunset concert. That's with Greggy and the Jets, and that's going to be this Friday, April 21st. It's going to be at the USSA Space Station or Space Coast Complex, not the space station. You don't have to take a rocket to get there, I promise.
Yeah.
That's on Stadium Parkway in Melbourne, and they are having Greggy and the Jets, and a great, again, another great fundraising opportunity for people in our community. If you know anything about St. Francis Reflections, they do a wonderful job with hospice and grief therapy and all kinds of great things here for our residents here in Brevard County. So once again, thank you, Sita, for connecting us with all of these fantastic organizations and people here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. It means the world to us.
Right, and it says if you dress like Elton John, you could win a prize.
Oh, baby. Wow.
So,
dollar store, game on.
Yeah, I am. I have an extra ticket if you want it, Miss Ellen.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
open up that other
Allie's
closet.
Allie's back. Allie Tambor is back. Hi. Ellen Little is here, my co-host with my right hand. Couldn't have this show without you, Miss Ellen. Thank you so very much. We sit here on Mondays, and we have a very unscripted, educational, informative, and I have to say quite interesting show. We speak with people about issues that are going on right here in Brevard County, Florida. We speak with people who are experiencing issues with financial literacy, maybe the environment, running for office, selling a book, writing a book. Whatever it is, we have people that call in from all over the world and talk about their business, their service, their product. We're so grateful to have a voice in community radio. And we're heard, actually, I mean, we were stunned.
All over the world.
We had call in last week from Vietnam.
Yeah.
And I have somebody from India calling in a few months. But anyways, today's no different. I prepped this morning for our show, and we have a beautiful lady, Zakia Shakir, who I met through my friend Susie Benjamin and her son Christopher Benjamin. And just the good Lord always sends wonderful people my way. And she is the founder of her business called Peerless Etiquette. And she's going to be talking a little bit about good manners, etiquette, respect for each other, how to live, how to just wake up every day, enjoy the planet, and be respectful to each other, yourself, your family. And the second segment, we have a children's author, Susan H. Hines, and she believes in offering children the best learning resources that can widen their knowledge, and she makes it fun and adventurous, and she wrote a book, and we'll be talking to her in a little bit. So I know we have our first guest on, and we are going to talk this morning with her. It's like, I hope I'm saying her name right. Good morning, and welcome to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, Shakir.
Good morning.
So say your name for us.
My name is Zakiya Shakir.
You said it perfectly.
Zakiya. Yeah, it's so beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
And she's so gorgeous. She wears, modern clothes, and then once in a while she'll wear her hijab and stuff, and it's like, oh my gosh, I love it. Yes. Beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, and let's get right to it. I mean, we often talk about bad manners, right? If we go to a store, Alan,
sure.
Ellen, and we see somebody misbehaving, or we see a person at one of the supermarkets that just watches an elderly person struggle to return a cart, or somebody struggling to get their groceries in, and we say, boy, that, somebody could have helped that person.
Mm-hmm.
And it all comes from the foundation at home and with our elders and our grandmas about manners and respect. So let's talk about how you got involved in Peerless Etiquette.
Well, Peerless Etiquette started as an idea, okay? I used to be an educator working with my mom, and she worked with small children. And I think it's so important that I started out teaching 2 and 3-year-olds how to have proper manners, their hygiene, things of that nature, and how it grew and grew and grew inside of me until I started to venture out to learn more about etiquette so I can help older children. What happened was these kids were leaving our daycare center and going off to grade school and middle school and high school, and they would always come back to my mom and their foundation, and they would always have questions about social skills at school and how they felt about being older. And so what I did was I continued to learn so that I can continue to help them grow in their futures. And it's been such a blessing to pour into the lives of so many young people. I went out of my way to get certified, not once, not twice, but 25 times.
Oh my gosh.
Because I wanted to learn all I needed to know to help not only people here in the U.S., but also internationally. So I worked a little bit abroad. My etiquette company has taken me everywhere, and I'm so grateful for it. And I continue to work with children, teenagers, adults, and corporations to help them fine-tune and polish their etiquette. And thinking about etiquette, Sita, it really is, it all boils down to mindfulness of others, and it also boils down to how we feel about ourselves, first and foremost. I think we can't treat anyone else kind if we don't treat ourselves kind. And so in my curriculum with kids, I talk a little bit more about that. But I did get my start with young people, and I continue to pour into the lives of young people. I love it.
Yeah, and a recurring theme in your company is kindness. You are a wife, a mother, an advocate for kindness, and it's a modern approach, right, to teaching. Because if you're not kind to yourself, if you don't have self-care, how can you give it to someone else?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when I teach young people, Sita, nowadays we think that it's common sense, right? Etiquette should be common sense. Everyone should know what our parents or our grandparents taught us. But nowadays, some parents are leaving it up to the schools to teach their kids these things. And sometimes the schools can't get around to teaching the children the foundation of etiquette. And so my company partners with so many different schools and private schools and charter schools as, just to help the children to have that extra, manners and etiquette courses. And it's not stuffy. I try my best to make sure that it's modern. It isn't something, it's not very antiquated. I try to make sure that it's fresh. And I also explain to the children that etiquette at its root, it's not about grandiose behavior. It's not about pointing out the flaws in others. it really is about mindfulness and kindness, and at the core of treating people how you want to be treated. And if you want to go a step further, treating people how they want to be treated. And that's more so in the international etiquette component, because as you know, etiquette in the U.S. is not the same abroad. And it's very important for our students to be global citizens. And so I do teach those students a little bit more about international etiquette in my courses as well. So they get a world view of behavior.
That's
and
right.
Not something, exactly, and not just for the U.S.
Right, and Lord knows we need a kinder, gentler, more mindful world, you know, not just for us, but for everyone. And the only way to actually promote that is by being thoughtful and cheerful and respectful. And what you teach, you know, when you think about it, like just teaching somebody that if you enter someone's home, they remove your shoes. And if you do remove it and there's five or six people, put it nicely and neatly, because somebody could trip and fall, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's so simple. I mean, good manners and adequate. And if you see, now, when I see your videos on Facebook, I always think about my aunt and my grandparents and the people that raised me, because in the islands, you could be as dirt poor as can be. I mean, we, God knows, we had dirt floors and, you know, carrot leaves for on our house and everything. And when we were little, of course. But my mother taught us to say please and thank you and be respectful to elders, most important. And sisters and brothers, and share. And if you were eating a banana and someone is standing next to you, offer them a piece. If you peeled an orange, you pegged it, give somebody a peg, you know. So it's kind of like the good manners, the etiquette. You don't have to be rich and famous to afford, you know, this stuff. You just do it from home, right?
And kind of partnering on what you're saying there, Sita, Allie and I are both from kind of corporate America, from big companies. And I remember them actually, before we went internationally, that they used to give us classes on etiquette what how to greet officials and how to greet certain people.
Absolutely.
So those are the technical sides of it, right? But that was the underlying piece, was that the kindness and you just being a good person was universal. You know, there were certain ways that you bowed or shook hands and that were certain for Asia specifically, I think it was. South America had its certain peekadoos kind of thing. But for the most part, just be nice.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And Allie has a question for you. Allie, go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Zakiya. We're tickled to death that you're here this morning with us. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah, really. One rule of etiquette that each of us should know would be what?
When you are visiting someone's home, as Sita mentioned before, it's also very important to bring an item with you, something as a gift for the host that has prepared the evening for you or the afternoon. If someone has prepared a meal for you, it's very important to come and bring a hostess gift. I work with a few law firms where they have, you know, me do their corporate gifts for them. Thinking about people all the time is really important in etiquette. And if you can put yourself aside and think about the person in front of you and think about the person who invited you, it's going to make you someone that they want to spend more time with. But I also have a tip about the hostess gift. Most people will opt for flowers for someone, right? And you bring the flowers over and you would think that that is a great gift. However, if the flowers are not in a vase with water already, then what you're doing is creating work for the host.
Yep.
So you want to make sure that you think about these little tiny things. They're really trifles, really. But I think that relationships are built upon trifles, thinking about all the little details. And so bringing flowers, making sure they're in water, that's great. A candle, if it's a bottle of wine, make sure it's something that they can have on their own, but you don't impose on the meal they've already planned, because some people will insist that you have what they brought right now, and that is improper etiquette. The hostess gift should be something private for them, and you should say as much. Open on your own time, you know, whenever, you know, we're all gone, things of that nature. Make sure that when you're visiting people's home, make sure you bring something along with you.
You're so right about the flowers. As much as we all love flowers, right? I've had, you know, I have a lot of parties at my home, and I love my friends. And you're so right, because I do remember times when I am busy trying to put out my vegetarian shepherd's pie and my curry chicken and my shrimp and my espalope and my salad, and I'm trying to get everything in a row and tell the lady that I hired to help how to help. But then here comes somebody with a big fat bouquet of flowers, and now you have to stop to tell someone where to find a vase, and then you have to put it in a good spot so the person knows you appreciate it. And I've gotten to that point where people would say, and I think it's okay, right? Maybe you could correct us, but is it good manners if the person say, can I bring anything? And then you say to them, honestly, we have everything covered.
Absolutely. That's proper etiquette, because that also alleviates the anxiety people have about coming over someone's home for the first time. If you let them know ahead of time that, hey, your presence is the gift. That is the best way to say that, and they'll feel honored. And most times, they'll show up and bring something anyway, but it alleviates.
It's cultural at that point, right?
It is
cultural. So let's talk about the early experiences with proper etiquette. You start with your company, Peerless Etiquette, friend Zakia Shakir. You start as early as children attending preschool?
Yes, my mom has a preschool. I tell people all the time, I was raised in a daycare, literally, because my mom worked from home. She was a stay-at-home mom, but her daycare, my father built another portion of our house for her daycare to be in our home. And we basically were surrounded by kids all the time. And so my first job ever was a preschool teacher when I got my CDA to work with children. And that is what prompted me to start my etiquette company, because my company back then was called Kia for Kids. My name is Zakia, the play on words, Kia for Kids. And what I used to do was I used to host parties for kids at my mom's school. So whenever a kid's birthday came up, I would do the entire decorating of the school and make sure they felt special on that day. And I would take those times, like story time and circle time, to be able to teach them a little bit more about being kind to one another. And that goes into the social emotional learning. In my background as a curriculum specialist, spoke to that for me. So creating curriculum for kids around kindness, around emotional intelligence, around being kind to one another is something that's very passionate to me. Wow. And if you ever went to my website, you'll see that my website is still very kid-focused, and it's very colorful and very bright, because I always want to have children coming to me to learn, because I feel like once you teach children, it becomes part of who they are. They don't have to try so hard as they get older. It becomes ingrained in who they are when they get access to an etiquette education early.
Well, you know, I noticed on your website, too, you have classes for young adults. That's called the Underground Etiquette. And then you have the Business Etiquette, which, boy, I wish you could take that all over the world to all the politicians. Because a lot of them need to be kinder and nicer and gentler and understand that we're all on this earthly journey called life together. And it doesn't matter what our race, color, creed, wealth status is. We're all human beings trying to exist. And being kind is like free, right?
Being kind is free. And, you know, also another thing that I teach is for about to go into what you just said about kindness to everyone, no matter where you come from. I teach my teenagers this and my students in school. I teach them to, when someone makes you feel uncomfortable with their behavior, I always tell them to, in that moment, to also exercise empathy for the person. Because that shows you that maybe the role models they've had in their life for so long may not model the behavior that they should have modeled for them. And so we're all just a product of what was modeled to us. Even in our adult age, it's still a collection of who poured into your life and who were your role models and who taught you what, right? And so what I try to do with the children is teach them that people with bad manners, we're taught those manners by someone, right?
Yeah.
And
well,
people with good manners.
Yeah, well, we are the environment in which environment in which we live. But you know what? Back in the islands, the simplest way of people teaching you about empathy, they would say, Just pretend you're in someone else's shoes.
There you go. Put yourself in.
You know, those
shoes,
aunties and grandmas and cousins and neighbors back home in the islands, they had these sayings, you know, and like my auntie, they had multiple use for guardian paper or the Trinidad and Tobago Express newspapers. They would use those to shine mirrors. They will use those to put by the floor as a doormat. So before you come inside the house, you wipe your shoes really good.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's kind of like they were so resourceful, and they use all these things to help us. But one of the things that I remember my auntie teaching us all the time is when you comb your hair and your hair falls, you are supposed to bend down and put that hair into a little circle, wrap it up into a little bunch, and put it in the trash. And she would teach us, you know, when you brush your teeth, make sure you know, put the toothpaste back properly, cap it.
Absolutely.
All the, and you know, we were so grateful just to have toothpaste, you know. But the thing is, she taught us, and she would say, think about the people that don't have a brush or coconut oil, or people who don't have toothpaste. And I think when they teach you the value of the things you have in your home, that your parents, and that would become a lecture, like how hard your father worked, how hard your mother worked. They buy this toothpaste. And before you know it, you're getting a financial literacy 101 test and exam and drama. Everything.
Absolutely.
You're getting all of that information into your little head, and you're only like 3 years old. But you're right. You learn it, right?
And the other thing was,
and then later on, you remember it. See, I was fortunate to have all my grandmothers in my life.
Yes.
And one of my grandmothers lived with us. And my great grandmother, who was from the Bahamas, she lived to be 115 years old. Wow. And my great grandmother used to tell us all the time that everything that you do, everything that you say to someone else, is a reflection of not just yourself, but your family.
Your whole family.
And so we had that on our shoulders of respecting the family and the family well. So it's very important for our children to understand that you're not just representing yourself. It's your family. It's everyone, your community as well. And so that also makes you act with a little bit more pride and dignity as well.
Right. I remember.
Was beat into our families. Yes. We beat into us, not beat into us, but, you know, repetitively told
it's programmed,
to us. Yes,
right?
When growing up.
Nowadays, people use the term grooming for so many things. But, you know, when I think back my childhood, we were groomed to say multiplication tables. And you had to stand in front of the whole gang and put your hands at your side and say, 2 times 2 is 4, you know, whatever. And the thing is, and what the grandmothers and the aunties and the cousins and everybody was looking for, to watch your manners. Are your nails clean? Is your hair combed? Mm-hmm. Is your dress length appropriate? Did you put coconut oil on your skin? And they're watching all that. And then they will criticize you right then and there.
In front of everybody. So you also felt the social pressure.
We sure did.
Well, that's what makes the group self-correct.
Because
then now it's sisters. Right.
My grandfather had the same. My grandfather used to say, if you can't shame them, you can't change them, right?
Right.
And I would always say, well, I don't want to be shamed, because, you know, there's this whole new, you know, information on shame culture. But shaming in certain cultures, my grandfather was very Southern. And if you did something, he would correct you in front of everybody. And you did feel that shame. And what you did was you behaved differently so that you wouldn't feel that anymore. But, you know, nowadays we try to do it a little differently. But I definitely understand that culture as well. I grew up that way as well.
In that culture, that's where a village raises. I was more afraid of my friend's mom than I was of my own mom. If I was not afraid in a sense of, like fear that she was going to hurt me or something, but afraid of her, like, to not mess up or not misbehave in front of her.
She'll tell your mom.
She would tell my mom.
Well, you know, my children do it differently. What they do is they pull the grandchildren aside, which I think in today's world is appropriate, because I do remember my mom sometimes shaming me in front of people, and I didn't like it. I think it's wonderful that my children don't make the mistakes that we made. But that's how it used to be, right? So where do we find your website if somebody wanted to sign up for your classes? Where do we get all the information?
Oh, absolutely. Well, on my website, it has lots of information on there. It is peerlessetiquette.com. And my classes, I normally partner with companies, I partner with youth programs, and when I have personal courses, I'll have my schedule posted online for open calls. And if you are signed up for my newsletter, then you'll know when I have open calls for courses, online, even virtual as well. So on my website at peerlessetiquette.com, you can find everything
right
on there.
And you have so many people that are doing these professional classes with you, these courses. You have realtors and financial professionals, politicians, travel and tourism, event and meeting planners, lawyers.
Absolutely.
We need that.
Absolutely.
Fortune 500,
absolutely,
celebrities, secretaries. You know, the thing with you is what you're bringing back to us is class. When I look
thank
at
you
your videos and I see the children with their dresses on and looking so beautiful, I'm like, thank you, because a lot of in today's world, a lot of people feel like they have to show less. They have to show their skin.
Show more.
Yeah, to show more. You know, like
sure.
Some people say more is less. Some people say less is more, right? And you don't really know like how some people are nowadays. And it's like when I look at your videos, you're not just teaching the classes, but you're teaching them how to dress, how to walk, how to walk into someone's house and take care of their property and their own. So expand with us. We have about 3 minutes left. Tell us some of your success stories.
Okay, so I have many of those, and you can find a lot more on my testimonial page on my website. But my biggest blessing is working with girls, because I think as a woman, you can relate a lot to girls when you're a woman yourself, right? And I get to work with youth programs that service girls. And the girls are from the ages of 5 to 17 years old. And they group them off in different cohorts. But one thing that, I don't want to cry, but one thing that comes to mind when you say success stories is a young lady who was a part of my course. And I met her when she was 8 years old. And she went through my course every year. Her mom brought her back to me. And it was her foster mom. She was living in a shelter before that. And then she finally got adopted. And I saw her confidence with my courses just grow and grow and grow. We started with appearance and behavior first, and we did dining etiquette. We went out together one-on-one to a nice restaurant, and I showed her what that feels like and how she should behave in places like that. She also learned communication etiquette from me, conversation etiquette, public speaking. And recently, I posted on my Facebook page that she was up for going to this prestigious college in New York called Vassar. And it's really hard to get into Vassar. It's a private college, and it's a lot of competition to get in. And she called me before her interview, and she wanted a refresher course. She's a grown girl now. She's 18 years old. She got into Vassar, and she also got in with a scholarship, and she's doing so well. But, Sita, if I tell you how much I saw this young girl grow, and how I was a part of her life since 8 years old, and how she just blossomed into this young lady that is self-assured, that is kind. She's the sweetest. And she also volunteers to help me out, because I also give out care packages to young girls that are a part of my program who may be from at-risk communities. We give them self-care and hygiene materials, and we do it on a monthly basis. And she helps package for me and send it out to the girls and things of that nature. But seeing the kids grow up in front of you over time and develop that confidence and self-assurance, that is the biggest gift that I can ever get from what I do.
Right. And the biggest thing is you instill such great self-confidence in the people that you help, especially these girls. You're teaching them to be helpful and cooperative, and it's just awesome what you're doing, because, you know, not every child is born to a parent with a handbook that can teach this child, you know, the emotional and psychological and financial and, you know, all the ways that we need to survive. And one of them is, you know, being kind, being loving, being cooperative, not being bossy and aggressive. All that you have to teach people, right?
Absolutely. And I think, Cecita, also modeling it for them. Sometimes we'll tell them what to do, but the biggest compliment that I've ever received from a parent is, yes, I know that you're teaching them this, but you're also an example of this. and what they see is what they emulate. And so I'm very aware of that working with young people, and I try my best to make sure that they not only hear me say the words, but they also experience it in my person as well. I think that's very important for parents as well. We tell our kids, and we say, do as I say, not as I do. But you have to also do it as well.
Yeah, and that's tough when people have all eyes on them. Zakiya, thank you so much for sharing all of this information today about peerless etiquette. And we hope that you get lots of our listeners that are going to tune into you and tune into your website. That's peerlessetiquette.com. And we will be right back after these messages, after we hear from our sponsors. Please stick tuned for Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County and Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud9, that's Cloud number 9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9.
Welcome Mattress to MedFast and Furniture. Urgent Care. We are Brevard County's largest urgent care network. MedFast is now open at 7:30 a.m. every day. That's right, 7:30 a.m. every day. We will get you in and out so you can get back to your day. When you are sick or injured, MedFast is here for you 7 days a week. Think fast, think MedFast. With 18 locations, there's a MedFast near you.
Are you longing for a taste of Louisiana? Lizette's Cajun Bistro is the place to be. They offer Cajun and Creole staples as well as American, vegan, and vegetarian options. The restaurant is located at 2447 North Wickham Road, Unit 146. All menu items are prepared daily from scratch and made to order. Dine in or take out as well as outside seating. Live music on selected weekends. So the next time you have a taste for Louisiana, stop by Lizette's Cajun Bistro, 2447 North Wickham Road.
Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at DixieCrossroads.com.
There's
accounting
something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510, WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere where we're heating up the airways, just talking about good manners today and books and whatever, Ellen.
Exciting things, absolutely. Yes, yeah, so if you're listening right now, you can get us on any one of your listening devices by going to 1510wwbc.com. By the way, this is the month to be doing, they're doing a fundraiser here for community radio right here at 1510WWBC. You can go to that website or you can go to WMIE.com, FM, to hit the donate button and you'll be able to donate a few dollars to, once again, to community radio that supplies us with so much great information. There's all sorts of different shows, everything you can possibly think of right here. And also, I want to put out another quick reminder for our St. Francis Reflections Party that's happening. That's a fundraiser as well that's happening this Friday, the 21st, at the Space Coast Stadium. And you can get tickets right online with St. Francis Reflections. And they are having Greggy and the Jets there as the entertainment for that evening. And as I understand it, Sita is going to dress up like Elton John.
No.
Just kidding.
Oh, my
but that
goodness.
Would be cute.
I'll just dress like normal Sita with some lipstick.
But there is a prize if you decide to go.
Yeah, I'll put on my lipstick. That's me. That's all my dressy thing. So our second segment is about to start with a friend. I mean, I have so many wonderful people on Facebook, and they are Facebook friends, so they are my friends. So Susan H. Hines has been writing children's books for many years, developing basic language, communication, and writing skills, and her company is called TJP Publications. And she, when I read about what she does, it's helping the children at different stages in their life to learn. And so she's on the phone, and we're just going to have her speak to us. Welcome to our show, Susan, and thank you for taking the time to call in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends in Cocoa, Florida.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to speak to you and just share all the good news that's been happening in the last couple months of my life, and things are moving pretty quickly.
Yes, and you are committed to children. You're committed to giving children the best resources possible to open their sweet little brains to knowledge and giving them wonderful experiences and support them, whether in daycares or public school or homeschooling. How did you get involved with this and form your own company, TJP Publications?
Well, you know, I think everyone started with this pandemic, and it helped to give us some downtime where we could look at creative skills that we may have neglected or not been able to hone into. And in doing so with the pandemic, I have a grandson that's 8 years old, and he had to have a lot of homeschooling and training and learning how to read and not miss a beat. And so in doing so, I recognized that he was not connecting with the books and materials that were readily available. And we had also at the same time gotten a new puppy added to our family. And I saw the connection between the two of them in terms of curiosity, growing, learning, and just fun exploration. And in doing so, I said, well, you know, maybe it's a good opportunity to write about it and encourage him to read about something he can connect to. And that's how my book came to be. It's called Buckley is a Busy Boy, and it's my first actual publication, although I've written other books and not published, but this is the first one that I published last September.
So tell us about Buckley. He is a standard dog, and what are some of the tricks that you wrote about that Buckley is using to help your grandson and other people like him?
Yes, Buckley is a standard schnauzer, and he comes from a long lineage of Westminster well-behaved dogs, so he's coming from a good lineage. I was able to meet with his breeder, and he was the last to be selected when we were able to come to her facility. And in doing so, I watched him and how he maneuvered amongst the few dogs that were still remaining of the litter. And he was very independent, kind of pulling himself out of the pack, doing little neat tricks, walking through tunnels, things of that nature, on his own, not being led, but just very inquisitive. And he's continued to grow and enhance those basic skills. He is the only pet within our household, and what I've noticed also is that he has many traits of a young child, in the sense of in the morning he's very cautious of who he wakes up first, whether it be my husband or myself. He knows I like to sleep in, so he'll go to my husband first for the 5 o'clock let me outside routine, and then maybe about 7 he comes back to check on me and say, okay, you're going to be late for work if you don't get up. So I found that to be interesting, that he knew who had preference as to early risers and so forth.
Yeah, and the book is a rhyming book, and it has a lot of sight words as well to enhance the vocabulary of the readers.
Yes, definitely. So in visiting one of the local schools not that long ago, maybe back in February, March timeframe, I was able to read to 6 different classes, totaling about 100 students or so. And the kids, I immediately, kindergarten, through first grade, immediately recognized many of the sight words and started calling them out, things that they had already learned, and then I noticed that they were easily able to help build their vocabulary by following the rhyming patterns of such. So I was excited to see that the kids took to the book very easily, and they wanted me to read it multiple times, which was encouraging.
And who's your audience for the book? Because in addition to the book, Buckley is a Busy Boy, you also have a Buckley coloring book. You have a Buckley activity book. So your audience is who, and who should be paying attention to spend some money and go on your website and buy this book and coloring book?
Yeah, most definitely. So I am working and targeting mostly parents and grandparents and any adults that have influence in a young child's life. The age range of the book ranges from ages 4 to 8, and again, just really trying to teach children that it can be fun to learn, and we want to make sure that they're enjoying the learning effort without even realizing that they're doing so. So yeah, 4 to 8 would be the age range, and we're looking at teachers and parents and daycares and so forth.
So, Susan, this is Allie. Hi, and we're glad to have you with us this morning. I was wanting to know, do you have a website, or how do we get the book, or how do we go look to see if you know, us grandparents want to give it to our babies or not?
Yeah, most definitely. So, the book is available on Amazon, as well as my personal website, which is tjppublications.com, and that's publications with an S.
So how long did it take you to write this book?
The book itself, the manuscript, is the easy part. So I would say it took me a couple weeks on that, and then working with illustrators takes a little longer. So I started the effort of the beginning of last year and doodled with it a little bit, worked with the illustrator, did some consultations and collaborations there. And then finally felt comfortable maybe around mid-year of submitting it over to my supporting team to start formatting.
Wow, awesome. And what are some of the services that TJP Publications offer to people who would like to author a book?
Okay, some of the services that we have is my favorite, right? Meet the author. I love going to the schools doing, going to bookstores, just having story time so that I can meet the general public and understand what children are attracted to, what parents are looking for to help aid their supportive vocabulary and reading efforts for the young kids. So I love that, Meet the Author. Also, I'm going out to the libraries. I have an event coming up pretty soon in May, the beginning of May. I'll be going to a local library here in the Henry County, McDonough, Georgia area, which is south of Atlanta. and we'll do some pajama story time reads and such. And then we're also doing vendor pop-ups. I have a vendor pop-up coming up this weekend, in fact, again, local here in Georgia, but we get to share not only our books, because we have our coloring book and our paperback reading picture book and activity book, but we also added to the Buckley merchandise store, and we have Buckley Buddies, which are very cute plushy dogs and other cool merchandise.
You know what? You're quite creative. You have quite an imagination, because you're also teaching the children strength and self-confidence through Buckley and all the stuff you're doing.
Yeah, I appreciate you calling that out. Thank you so much. That is one of my goals, and the slogan that I use when I signature to autograph books is, you have the power to imagine and create. And I want everyone to know that, children especially, that is my target market. But I've also had teachers and sub-teachers raise their hand and say, oh my gosh, you've inspired me to do this or that, or go and write my book. And I think we all have a story, and we all have a gift to share with the world, and my passion is children.
And you know, when I read on your website all the great things you're doing to help children to learn and grow and be so resourceful, I couldn't help but think, you know, like all over the world, there's so many children who are living in poverty, and they are likely to drop out of school. You know, we in America, we say make education free. But in so many countries across the world, due to war and famine and hunger and border crises and whatever, environmental concerns, little children just don't have a way to get good books like this. So I'm wondering, are you partnering with anyone so where people can get your books overseas or internationally as well? Can you just imagine?
Online, maybe.
Can you just imagine seeing a book with Buckley or a coloring book in a little kit, an education kit for a child in a different country? How beautiful that would be, right?
So do thank you. Yeah, thank you. Sowing that seed, my wheels are turning as you're saying that. I have local partnership within the U.S. for the little libraries that pop up, the free libraries where you can take a book and give a book. But wouldn't that be such a blessing, as you said, to extend this vision internationally? I am excited just hearing that.
Yeah, you know, there's a group, I think it's called Save the Children, and they have like a little education kit. And in there, there's like arts and crafts, citizenship education, dealing with trauma, you know, from war or the loss of a parent or the loss of limbs. And there's a little mathematics in there and a little bit of penmanship and communication skills and all that. But it's so wonderful when we are creative and we have a talent, a gift, and an ability, and we can share it not just with ourselves, but with others. And we are so blessed in the United States, But can you just imagine if a child opens a box and sees one of your items in there? How what a gift that would be, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's exciting just hearing that thought premise. And also, I would be thrilled to just see the face of a little child opening the book and taking to it and seeing the opportunity that they, too, because they can create. Everyone can create, and I do believe that. And that may be the seed that they just need to brighten their day.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, with writing, once you write one book and you feel good about it, then you say, well, maybe I should start a second one. And you've written quite a few. Do you have a follow-up to Buckley?
Actually, I do. Out of the archive comes our second release, and I'm thinking it's going to be Buckley's Rainy Day, but we are still working, and I say we, that's me and my collective we and myself, right? But I'm still working on trying to decide which book I'm going to choose out of my archive, but I think it's the Rainy Day, as I've been watching him lately, Buckley. Buckley is a real dog, by the way, if I didn't say, but I watched him last week, and he was just pouring out the window, hoping to go outside, but it was raining so bad, and I said, you know what, I think this is going to be it. So it'll be the second of the series that's coming up.
It's really refreshing to have someone like you who are trying to encourage children to read in today's climate where there's so many books that are being banned. Did you have a favorite childhood book of your own that helped shape your mind?
Yes, I am a big fan of the Dr. Seuss books, and Green Eggs and Ham has always been a classic, and I read it now even as an adult. Just to look at the way the book is put together, understand how it impacted me in terms of creativity and not limiting myself in terms of thinking. And then also just there's always a buried message in those books that we read, and I like how I felt, and I think that's really what I'm going for. As children read the book, and I do a Q&A at the end of my story time with kids, and I just enjoy it so much because they raise their hands and they see different things and how it influences. And one session that I could think of recently is going to one of the elementary schools and having a student raise their hand and say, you know, how did you color so well, or how did you come up with the red bird that's in the book? And knowing that the difference between an author and an illustrator, and their mind was already, you could see the wheels churning and how they were thinking of how they could put a book together and maybe who they would need to collaborate with. So from reading the Dr. Seuss book into where I am today, and now having the experience of working with the young kids and seeing their minds work, I'm just utterly excited.
You're motivating them. So for our audience who are just tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we're speaking with children's author Susan Hines, and she wrote a book called Buckley is a Busy Boy. And it is available. And if you could kindly give us your website where someone could go to TJP Productions and not just get Buckley, the book, but also the art coloring book and all the materials that goes along with it. So give us your website, please.
Again, it's TJP Publications with an S.com, and that's TJPPublications.com.
So, Susan, some people find that editing is a bit difficult when they're writing a book. What was your most difficult part of this artistic process?
I think you nailed it, editing. Yeah. Editing is always a thought process, because you may feel one way when you write a book, and then you step away from it and you come back and look at it, and your vision or thought pattern may adjust. Or, and then also you're writing for a particular audience, so you're looking at what will engage a child in terms of, are they going to get the message? What problem are you trying to solve? You don't want to tell them. You want them to feel or see the solution. And then also just having a type of message buried into the solution, right?
So right. And do you mm-hmm. do you ever read like your book reviews and say, oh, okay, because some reviews are really good, right? And some reviews say, okay, well, let me see. Do you ever read them and Google yourself?
Oh yeah, I do that definitely. Especially as a newly published author, it's different when you're writing for yourself and you're just penning to paper and it goes into your personal archive and so forth. But when you're putting yourself out to the world, you want to see how that's being received. You want to see if your audience is taking to the message and if there's anything that needs to be tweaked. Recently, I used social media to do just that, do a quick poll to the audience to say, how do you like the book? What do you like about the book? What'd you like to see more of? And I got some really solid feedback. So these are things that help me to be better as an author, and help me to grow as well. So as children are growing, I'm equally in the growth pattern as well.
Wow. You know, you sound so clear, as if you're sitting right here in the studio with us. It's hard to believe that you're calling from Georgia. Here we go, Ellen, another one calling in.
I know. So,
by writing this book and publishing the book, and now you have your small business owner, you own your own company, how does it feel? Because I'm sure It's quite an accomplishment, isn't it?
I pinch myself every day. I can't believe that just by saying yes to myself, yes to my grandson, yes to a vision, and even my puppy, just wanting to do something better. It's always that that common thought. It says, you know, someone should have done X, Y, Z. And then you say, wait a minute, I am that someone. All you have to do
is... Hey, that's the title of a book for you. You could write a book and just use that as your title.
I am that someone.
See? I am that. I'm taking it out for myself. I love it.
I've had it.
And so then we only have about 2 minutes left, and I wanted to ask you really quick, do you see writing sort of therapeutic, like a kind of spiritual? Because that's how I felt when I wrote my book. I felt like it was a cleansing of my soul.
Yes. I definitely connect with you there. I feel as though it's a place where I can just totally get lost. And knowing that I'm putting a piece of myself or leaving a legacy of sorts that someone else can attach to. And most recently, our local library accepted my book into the library system here. So so now children can go and check the book out if you don't, you know. So I'm really excited about it and seeing this creative process come to being and not even realizing what I could do. So this is a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, it's what you're doing is amazing with your branded merchandise and your book and everything else. But you know what? We need more people like you to care about leaving a good footprint behind on planet Earth. Because basically, this all started because you wanted to impress your grandson.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yes, the motivations we get sometimes.
Yes. Well, you know what? Give us a website one more time, and then Ellen will take it from there.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks again for having me. Again, it's Susan H. Hines. The name of the book is Buckley is a Busy Boy. And the website is tjppublications.com.
And you've done a great job marketing it because it's very easy to find. Anybody who Googles it will be able to find it right away. So congratulations on that. Congratulations on the inspiration, and certainly the inspiration that you gave us today to all of our listeners as well as for us here in the studio.
Woo-hoo.
We are signing off now. Viewpoint with Seed and Friends, AM 1510 WWBC. Each and every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have new guests, new topics, and always a great educational, unscripted, and fun show. Please tune in next week. We will see you soon.
Thank you.